Which state or territory has the best health system? Well, Victoria is never shy about coming forward. They've tended to assume that their way of doing business is best. And that self-view was reinforced when, under national health reform under the Kevin Rudd government, it largely adopted the Victorian system. That involves devolution of power to hospital boards, a way of funding services which is based on the actual services that they provide rather than lump sums based on history, and not letting them to get to crisis point before sending in the bureaucratic equivalent of the SAS. So do Victorians have the best public hospital system? Well, a review by the prestigious King's Fund, a health think tank in London, has tried to answer that question. And the CEO of the King's Fund, Chris Hamm, is on the line from London. Apologies for waking you so early, Chris.
That's fine, Norman. Good to speak to you.
So is this colonial cringe, getting the King's Fund to review a health system here?
Well, we're an independent foundation, and we agreed to take this on the basis we could tell the story warts and all, highlighting both the benefits of the Victorian system, but also areas of improvement and where they don't do so well. So we produced a report really for Judgment Day, not for Speech Day, and it presents, we believe, an honest assessment of what goes on and what's been achieved.
One of the comments you make in the report is that there's lack of transparency in the Australian health system, and it's actually quite hard to dig out data to really find out how the system's performing.
Yeah, we looked at all the data we could get our hands on, and there's a lot of washing around the system, which is used for internal management purposes between the health department in Victoria and the boards running the local health services. But not a lot of that is made available to the public so people can see how well their local service is performing or how it compares with the other local services. That's not just an issue in Victoria. We believe that's actually a global issue. Certainly in this country, we're trying to do much more to create more transparency and to inform the public as well as those providing care how well they're doing and where they can improve.
So how did you measure the states against each other?
Well, we use routinely available data with all the problems that comes with that. We'd like to have a lot more about the quality and outcomes of care for patients and populations, but frankly, there's not enough. So we used a combination of data on things like wait times, access to care. We looked at activity rates and what's produced with the money that's available. We also looked at some data on outcomes like healthcare-acquired infections and avoidable deaths. So it's an imperfect way of assessing performance, but it's the best that's available looking at the data that exists.
So before we get to the results on those, you talked to people on the ground about what their perceptions were of the Victorian system. What did they tell you? Because it is a devolved system. There's supposed to be quite a lot of autonomy at ground level.
Yeah, what they told us is this model that they call devolved governance in Victoria is both the greatest strength and perhaps the greatest weakness of the arrangements in that state. It's a strength because they've stuck with that model. It gives a lot of autonomy to the boards running local health services. They can make decisions appropriate to their population. The weakness is, though, it doesn't create a good basis for boards to share, to collaborate, to identify good practice, and then to spread it across the state. So in our recommendations, as well as giving an overall assessment, we make a number of recommendations for areas like this that Victoria can improve on.
I mean, there's 85 of them in Victoria. I mean, it's a small state compared to New South Wales, for example, which has got a larger population where they've only got 15.
Yes, and that's exactly one of the issues we've raised for consideration by the state government. Are there too many? Wouldn't it make more sense to bring them together? But I'm talking from a country that reorganises and reorganises and reorganises yet again its health service with all kinds of damaging effects of structural change when the real issues need to be about how do we improve patient care. So if you are going to reduce, you need to do it very thoughtfully to avoid that happening.
So what about the performance then of the Victorian system relative to the rest of Australia?
Well, with the caveat I've already mentioned, we don't have as much data as we would like to make those comparisons. Our overall assessment is that on most indicators, Victoria does as well as other states. And on a few, and particularly the costs of providing care, it does better. And in that regard, the system they've had for several years of activity-based funding, where Victoria was very much the pioneer that other states have since followed, is, we think, one of the main reasons why they've done so well to keep costs of treating patients down and to deliver more bang for the buck.
So just to go back over that, when you look at the various things like infections, meeting targets and so on, Victoria is kind of in the middle. It's neither fantastic nor terrible, or the scorecard is above average, but not hugely above average. But it's quite dramatic. Victoria is the benchmark for costs in Australia. It's the cheapest system.
That's right. So let me just reinforce that. I think on a lot of the indicators, you can't claim that Victoria does better than the other states. It's very much in the middle of the pack. But because of this long-term investment and early adoption of the activity-based funding system, where essentially you pay for what you get, that has helped to keep costs under control. It has made Victoria, arguably, at least at this stage, the most efficient of the Australian states, and that's something they can be proud of.
And so the other thing that you comment in your report is that while people think that cost cutting is bad and is going to reduce safety and quality, that's not been the case. So they've got better, more bang for their buck and still have a safe system, at least relative to the other states.
That's right. But again, can I make the caveat here that that's based on the data we have about outcomes and quality of care. It may be there are other data we don't have which would paint a different picture. And we know recently there have been problems in one of the rural health services with the quality of maternity services,
for
example.
This is Bacchus March.
Yeah, that's right. And that's another reason why we are arguing that more transparent reporting of performance data about things like outcomes in maternity services has to be given higher priority, because it's about what somebody once called the disinfectant of sunlight, that if you are very transparent on things like public reporting of health outcomes, that will in itself help to improve care and quality.
And they sacked the board at Bacchus March, Jarrah Health Service, because of these 7 supposedly avoidable deaths in newborn babies. But that's really an exception now in Victoria, because they put in this kind of emergency management system for boards to mitigate crises. Without going back over what we were talking about, is it that element, or is it, do you believe, activity-based funding that's really done the job for Victoria in terms of cost control?
So we think it's 3 or 4 things together. There isn't a silver bullet here. There never is there? It's activity-based funding. It's the stability there's been in the system. And from an English perspective, we look enviously on a state that stuck with its model of devolved governance and hasn't chopped and changed when things have gone wrong. And that's a risk, too, around these recent failures of care. Sometimes politicians look at problems like those that have happened around maternity services, and they want to be seen to be doing something, so they change the organisational model when actually it's probably pretty sound. And what you need to do is look at the root cause. So in the case of Victoria, to summarise, I think it's activity-based funding, it's devolved governance, it's the boards having control, it's the performance management relationship between the health department across the state and each of the boards, and it's the leadership continuity. You have people who've been running local health services for many years. They've got the track record of experience, but that's not meant to be complacent. You need to have much more collaboration with these small boards in particular, working closely with the larger boards and benefiting from their much greater expertise.
And don't reorganise just for the sake of it.
Well, avoid reorganisations at all costs. That's a very clear message from our experience. You know, the core business is about improving patient care and population health outcomes. Reorganisation rarely delivers that.
Chris Hamm, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Chris is CEO of the King's Fund, a health policy think tank in London. And you're listening to The Health Report here on RN with me, Norman Swan. Still to come, a new way of treating prostates and fibroids without surgery or drugs.